You're listening to the National Radio Club's DX audio service for March 1991. Hello, I'm Fred Vobey. Well, we have a lot of information to cover on this edition of the National Radio Club's DX audio service. We also have a special announcement concerning Crazy Ken's special. And we'll tell you a little bit more about that right after we hear from Jerry Starr with a look at the AM Switch column. Jerry?
Thanks, Fred. Hi, everybody. Jerry Starr with another edition of AM Switch from the pages of the National Radio Club's DX News. We have four editions of AM Switch for you this month, starting with reference number 248, in which there were no call letter changes. That happens from time to time. However, some interesting otherness items include on 1110 WZAM in Norfolk, Virginia, this station has been slapped with a large monetary fine for a number of technical violations. The FCC says that one of the things they're fining them for is operation after sunset for several hours with an unmodulated carrier. How many of us have heard that happen before? Not necessarily at this station, but a lot of AM daytime stations that forget to turn the carrier off. It's interesting to note that the FCC is not being as liberal about this as they appeared to be at one time. On 1240 KJOP, Lemoore, California, this silent station is back on the air. On 1250 WKBR, Manchester, New Hampshire, this station went silent the 14th of January. And according to the general manager, the ownership decided to shut it down after negotiations with a potential buyer failed. This station has been around for years and years, and for a number of years was the big station in the Manchester, New Hampshire market. How the mighty have fallen. 1300 KBCN, Fairbanks, Alaska. This silent station has been purchased by new owners and may be expected to return to the air soon. And finally, if you have a copy of the printed NRC log, we found a couple Canadian stations, courtesy of Brian Verdon, one of our Canadian members, that did not appear in the log. So if you want to pencil them in, here they are. On 1340 CKHV, they're in Goose Bay, Newfoundland, 1000 U1. And on 1490 CBDQ, Labrador City, Newfoundland, also 1000 U1. Moving on to edition number 249, and there are call letter changes in this edition. On 680 WLFF, St. Petersburg, Florida, changes to WRMD. 810 KMIK, Santa Fe, New Mexico, changes to KSWV. Now, if that call sounds familiar, that was the call assigned to the construction permit to build a new station on 1550 in Santa Fe, New Mexico. It appears that the people who own that construction permit are going to turn that one in and instead are buying an existing station, the one on 810. On 870 WPRQ, Colonial Heights, Tennessee, this station has been on and off a number of times. Well, it's back on the air, and it has a new call letter, WFKB. 880, new station in Hamby, Texas, will be KWVG. On 1000 KRHS, Bullhead City, Arizona, becomes KFLG. On 1120, the new station in San Martin, California, will be KSJI. On 1280, KREL Henderson, Nevada becomes KDOL. 1400, WWXX Alpharetta, Georgia changes to WRAF. 1440, KJLO Monroe, Louisiana becomes KMLB. On 1470, KANO Brooklyn Park, Michigan, excuse me, that's Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, changes to KBCW. 1510, WLKR Norwalk, Ohio becomes WVAC. One grant of interest on 1080 WLVN, Luverne, Alabama, changes their city of license. They are now located in Brentley, Alabama. And a few items under otherness on 650 KMCE, Rancho Cordova, California. This new station has been testing on the air. Reportedly, when they do come on, they'll be simulcasting KRCX on 1110. On 720 WRBR, Richland, Mississippi, new station is on the air. On 870 WFKB, Colonial Heights, Tennessee, we told you about that up in the calls. They are now back on the air. And on 1250 CBOF, Ottawa, Ontario, they are moving their operations to FM only on 90.7, by the way. And shortly after the move to FM is made, the AM station will cease to exist. We'll let you know when that happens. They are testing the FM station on the air already. Onward to edition number 250. Call letter changes are all Canadians, and we'll explain why in just a second here. On 800 CKOK, Penticton, British Columbia becomes CKOR. 1240 CKOO. Osuyus, British Columbia becomes CJOR. 1400 CKRP, Princeton, British Columbia becomes CIOR. And on 1450 CKSP, Summerlin, British Columbia becomes CHOR. These changes reflect the affiliation of the station with a newly formed network, which will be called, what else? The OR network. Applications from existing facilities, one of interest on 1520 WTULN, Apopka, Florida, would like to move to 700 kilohertz. They applied to do that a couple years ago. That was returned, and they're trying it again. And under otherness, on 710 WKXB, Smyrna, Tennessee, this station was silent under the old call of WSVT. They are expected to return to the air in February of 1991. We don't know if they've done that yet or not, but that was their target date. But expect this station to return to the air, and they will simulcast their new FM station on 94.1. 980 WMAK, London, Kentucky. This silent station is also back on the air. On 1090 KACO, Belleville, Texas, station is silent. 1180 WBCQ in Quakertown, Pennsylvania. This construction permit for a new station may remain in limbo for some time to come. Our member in that area, Dave Schmidt, reports that zoning problems have halted the construction of their three-tower antenna system, so it may be a while before that new station gets on the air. On 1400 WLWZ, Spartanburg, South Carolina, silent station is back on the air. And on 1460 WPRW, Manassas, Virginia, which went silent in mid-December with equipment problems, those problems evidently have been repaired. They are now back on the air. 1520 WHRF, Bel Air, Maryland, this station is silent. It had been staffed by volunteers shortly after the staff walked out at the first of the year, but on the 24th of January, they went off the air altogether. 1550 KITH, Apple Valley, California. After a long period of testing, this station is now on the air with regular schedule. And on 1590 WETT, Ocean City, Maryland, this station becomes silent once again, this time, according to the station, to repair the antenna system. This station always had one of the more interesting slogans, we always thought. Being in Ocean City, Maryland, the call is WETT, and they always said, everyone gets wet by the ocean. Finally, we move on to edition number 251. More call letter changes on 880 KIKR. Conroe, Texas becomes KJOJ. On 1050 WMDK, Peterborough, New Hampshire changes to WRPT. On 1100, the new station in Bakersfield, California will be KZPM. 1190 KYII, Dallas, Texas, changing their call to KUII. 1260 WCRT, Birmingham, Alabama, becomes WCEO. By the way, we want to thank our audio service member, Dale Hamm, for sending us in a newspaper clipping about that call letter change as this station goes to business news. On 1380, KWIC, Beaumont, Texas, becomes KKFH. 1400, KTUS, Galveston, Texas, becomes KHCB. 1470 WOJY, Farrell, Pennsylvania, becomes WAXF. That station, of course, is off the air, but is expected to return within the next month or so. On 1490 WKQS, Johnstown, Pennsylvania, becomes WNTJ. And on 1550 WCTW, Newcastle, Indiana, becomes WMDH. Moving down to otherness, since there were no grants or applications in number 251, on 560 WYOR, Brentwood, Tennessee, this silent station has been sold. New owners expect to return it to the air soon. On 870, here's some confusion for you. WKZM in Gorant, Maine, is changing call letters with WLAM on 1470 in Lewiston, Maine, and the two stations will simulcast the same programming. So what will happen is, on 870, that will become WLAM. On 1470, that will become WKZN. And the confusion continues because both stations, except for the legal ID, will be called WLAM on the air. And we don't know why. On 910 WLAS, Jacksonville, North Carolina, this is kind of an interesting situation. This is the first station to go off the air that we know of that gave as the reason the war in the Persian Gulf. Here's what happened. WLAS went off the air. They went silent on the 31st of January after 37 years of service to the Camp Lejeune, North Carolina area. Of course, Camp Lejeune is very much dependent on its local economy for the servicemen located in the area. According to Paul Parker, the manager at the station, the deployment of more than 30,000 troops out of their listening area was the straw that broke the camel's back. And so WLAS is now silent. 1120 WHOG, Hobson City, Alabama, this news station is on the air. 1230 KRMH, Leadville, Colorado, has gone silent. 1240 CKBS, St. Hyacinth, Quebec, this station went silent the 16th of January. On 1320 KAVI, Rocky Ford, Colorado, another station that has gone silent. 1400 KTFS, Texarkana, Texas, this silent station has been sold. The new owners expect to have it on the air shortly. And finally, on 1510, here's another interesting fine from the FCC. KDKO, Littleton, Colorado, has been fined $10,000 by the FCC for, among other things, failing to switch to their nighttime power and pattern after sunset. How many times have we as DXers heard this happen, where a station appears to be running its daytime power at night? Well, KDKO did it one too many times, evidently, when the FCC was in town, and it cost them 10 big ones. And that just about wraps it up for another month's worth of AM Switch from the pages of the National Radio Club's DX News. One thing we would like to do is pass along a little note to Paul Smith of Baltimore, who a month or so ago questioned a call letter which we gave in Page, Arizona as WPGE. Well, Paul, you're right. We should have said KPGE. That was the audio service version of a typo. Sometimes you look at a K and say a W. At least sometimes I do, and I apologize for that. But the call in Page, Arizona is KPGE. That's it. I'm out of here. I just looked across the hallway, saw the lights come on in Studio X, and lo and behold, sitting in front of the big microphonium is none other than John Bowker. So, John, it's your turn.
Well, thanks very much, Jerry. Hello again, everyone. Welcome to the Travelogue. Before I get started, Jerry, before you get away, I really should apologize to you or bite my tongue or something for the crack I made last month about WHOT maybe doing such a good job you'd put all the other stations in town off the air. Little did I know that a moment or two earlier you had reported that WFAD in Middlebury, Vermont had gone dark. Presumably WCVM, its FM side, had also gone off the air. I built the other station in Middlebury. It's a classical music station owned by the college. But, gee whiz, that brought things kind of close to home. That was back in the early 60s I was involved with that. So I have no real connection with it anymore. But it was interesting to know, any of you who are following FM as well as AM, that WMNM has bought the WCVM tower in Chipman Hill, it's called, in Middlebury, Vermont. And I wonder if that had anything to do with putting those stations off the air. You don't suppose, do you? I hope not. Anyway, hello again, everybody. This is the segment of the DX Audio Service where we take a closer look at one or two of the AM channels and listen to a few of the IDs that I've had a chance to collect over the years and to recordings of stations sent in here to the Travelogue office by subscribers to the DX Audio Service. We always ask that if you come across a nice, clean ID, send it in to us. Put it on a cassette. We'd love to have it. This month, we will be focusing solely on 740 kilohertz, 740 on your dial. And this is another of the clear channels. Now, remember that last month, we found that 730 was a Mexican clear channel. Well, this month, we're going to be working with 740, and that's a Canadian clear channel. And it's a Class 1A channel to boot. Now, all this bureaucratic ease simply means that the Canadians can be expected to have a full-power, non-directional station on this channel, and indeed they do. CBL, with its wonderful tower, full view as you drive the 401 just outside Toronto, 50,000 watts. And there's another biggie in Edmonton and one up in Newfoundland. And by the way, that's the way the locals pronounce that province, Newfoundland. Just thought you'd be interested. Of course, the clear channel limitations have been revised over the years through the various administrative radio conferences, so daytime operations can occur even in the northeastern part of the United States. Let's see, if I take a quick look at the map here, I guess WVCH in Chester, Pennsylvania is about the closest U.S. station to Toronto. Huntington, Long Island, Cambridge, Mass. Nah. WVCH has recently been approved for 50,000 watts, too. Daytime only operation, of course, as we're going to hear on our tape here in a few minutes. But as is my wont, there are a couple of tapes I thought you would like to hear before we get into the Travelogue proper this month. Dale Hamm sent in a cassette of stations all over Alabama and Middle Tennessee. And there's a cut on that I thought was worth saving. And Mike Smith out in Iowa sent in two tapes. And thanks, Mike. Yes, I got them both. That's great. You did fine. We ought to really be letting you hear some of these. Let's go back to the Dale Hamm tape first. Some of you know that I'm not a strong advocate of radio stations using call letters for identifying themselves. In my view, they should use frequency and city. As a matter of fact, the Canadians have tended in that direction, saying where they're, 940 Montreal. I think that identifies pretty much the station completely. And the fact that it's CBM has little to do with the price of peanuts, really. My reasoning is really that it does no one any good to learn that the temperature is 62 degrees at, the WXXX studios if you don't know where the WXXX studios are. Also, it really doesn't help to find your favorite station on the dial, does it? When they say, be sure to tune in tonight to WXXX, you say, well, what do I do? And it seems to me the FCC could accommodate very easily, too. If they want to have a record that 740 in Boca Raton is WSBR, fine. The whole thing sounds kind of funny coming from a guy who collects radio station call letters, I know. But Dale admitted that even he had trouble understanding exactly what this station was. See if you have any luck.
Life is cheap on urban streets. I'm Bruce Williams, NBN News.
Well, a couple of things there. First of all, don't I know another Bruce Williams somewhere? Yeah. As a matter of fact, the Bruce Williams on TalkNet lives right here, about 5 miles from where I'm sitting. But I'm not going to tell you what that station was. Nope. Hoping to make my point. I think you could hear that it was at 1310, and the word Alabama came out pretty well. But I'll let you figure out the rest of it. And, when these people have jingles where the girls sing very prettily and all that, but you can't understand what they're saying. And when a fellow uses a voice like that, I don't know. So I agree with you, Dale, and thanks very much for sending it in. Now, this other little vignette comes from Mike Smith out in Des Moines and is of an announcer. An announcer I've never heard before, nor any announcer like her. And I'll bet there's quite a story behind this next voice, a story I'd like to learn sometime.
North wind around 10 miles per hour. Sunday partly sunny, high around 20. KFGQ, KFGQ-FM, Boone, Iowa, 30 seconds past 10 o'clock.
I have to assume that's got to be a gutsy lady. I'm going to go meet her someday. I hope I have a chance. Okay, everybody, let's listen to a few IDs we've collected from the 740 dial position. And we'll arrange them geographically as best I can, as usual, from east to west. We're going to end with the Canadian, with the CBL, for a reason that'll become obvious at the end, I think. And so starts the March 1991 travelogue on the DX Audio Service.
You're listening to AM 740 WLVG Cambridge, Boston, where we love gospel music. Good afternoon, I'm Brother Frank Wombles, and the request line is open at 492-0262, so give me a call if you got a dime.
The station of the stars, WGSM, Huntington, Babylon, Smithtown, Iceland, Oyster Bay, and Brookhaven, Long Island.
It's 12 noon. In the beautiful Delaware Valley, this is AM 740, WVCH, Chester.
UPI Religion News, I'm Sharon Gotkin. President Reagan addressed a group of...
Due to FCC regulations regarding daytime broadcast operations, WMBG Radio must now leave the air. Join us again tomorrow at sunrise when we'll begin another broadcast day with music, news, and information. From everyone at 74 WMBG Williamsburg, have a pleasant night.
R&R, WRNR, Martinsburg. There are about 200,000 acres on fire in the West. California, Idaho, Oregon, Washington, and Utah.
4 o'clock on WPAQ, Mount Airy, North Carolina.
Hard news, soft music. This is WSBR, Boca Raton, serving the Gold Coast at AM 74. The time is 8 o'clock.
CBS News, I'm Carol Pazewski.
This is the information station, WKIS, Orlando.
CBS News, this is Charles Osgood.
Central Florida's source, WWMZ Orlando, 74 winds, where news comes first.
This is the NBC Radio Network. Good morning, I'm Gary Nod.
Oh, devil moon, deep in your eyes, blinds me with love.
Central Alabama's original hit station, 740 AM, WLWI, Montgomery.
NBC Radio News, I'm Dick Bertel. Secretary of State James Baker says West Germany has made a significant offer of financial help for the military buildup in the Persian Gulf.
You're listening to WRPQ Baraboo, 740 AM stereo, the Star Station.
Poland's Prime Minister warns that although the government requested to depart, the problems remain. I'm Howard Beyer on the Satellite News Network.
You're listening to AM 74 WRPX with studios in Hudson Township. This is WRPX Hudson, Wisconsin. It's 7 o'clock.
47 degrees at Intercontinental Airport. When you see news happening, call our News Tip hotline, 528-KTRH. I'm Mark Gillespie. The News Watch never stops at KTRH Houston, News Radio 740 AM. KTRH News Time, 7 o'clock.
From ABC News, I'm Roger Skidinus.
Listening to good music, KMEO, AM and FM stereo, Phoenix.
AM 740. Your Crawford Broadcasting Company station for all of Southern California.
Talk from the heart, KBRT.
Avalon!
Your Crawford Broadcasting Company station for all of Southern California.
KBRT.
Is the church on the way.
KCBS San Francisco, the world's first broadcasting station, was founded in 1909 in San Jose. Its 50,000 watts of power bring a vast Northern California audience a full schedule of comprehensive news and information. This is Charlie Serafin, Director of News and Programming for CBS-owned radio station KCBS. News Radio 74 appreciates your interest and invites your comments about our programs, which will resume at 6 a.m. right here at 74 on your AM dial.
You're listening to KCBS San Francisco, broadcasting on microwave WGZ 615 and WGZ 660.
And as we head back toward the Toronto area, let me pick up a couple of stragglers here.
Takes us up to 1 minute past 11. The WNOP, Radio Free Newport, Kentucky.
Okay, missed that one. And there are a couple of other little vignettes here I want to give you, one from Cambridge and one from Chester, Pennsylvania. And Fred, I'll try to get a nice clean recording of this next one here for you so you can use it perhaps a year from now on the sign-off of the DX Audio Service.
Good evening. With the ringing of the 1724 Courthouse bell in Chester, WBCH, Chester, Pennsylvania, concludes its 15,716th day of broadcasting. WBCH transmits on a frequency of 740 kilohertz. By the
no, I'd give you that one right now, Fred, except for one thing. I recorded that on a northbound Amtrak train, and halfway through the sign-off, wouldn't you know it, we went into the Philadelphia station, which is underground, and I lost it completely. So I'll try to get you a nice clean one, because I think that's a nice premise for a sign-off. And lastly here, before we go up to Toronto, I want to give you an early cut. This goes back about 25 to 30 years from Cambridge, Massachusetts.
WCAS, 620 Mass Avenue, Cambridge.
Oh, dear. Well, at least it's a moment frozen in time. Let's go up to Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
CBL now concludes its broadcast day. Owned and operated by the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, CBL is located in Toronto, Canada, and transmits on an assigned frequency of 740 kilohertz with a power of 50,000 watts. This is Reg Tupper inviting you to join us at 6 o'clock this morning for CBL's unique brand of early morning radio. Good night.
Well, that's what we have here at the Travelogue for the 740 kilohertz dial position. By the way, a couple of months ago I mentioned that I was looking for Tuckahoe, Virginia for that 720 station, and I'm sorry about that. It turns out the plan for a Tuckahoe station fell through, as Jerry Starr mentioned in his column here a bit ago. That one got by me, so that's why 720 isn't very loud and clear when you get around wherever Tuckahoe is. And I'll end by clarifying that the comments I made about call signs and things like that earlier on this program are purely my own. Fred looked at me with kind of an odd look, thinking, hey, you know, is this a National Radio Club position? By no means, no. I was speaking solely for myself, probably of the whole United States solely for myself.
Well, John, we get ourselves into trouble all the time. Speaking of getting ourselves into trouble, it seems that Crazy Ken and myself have perpetrated a faux pas. It seems we ordered too many cassettes for the National Radio Club's DX audio service. And we're holding a Crazy Ken special. That's right, put the blame on Ken. 90-minute audio cassettes. Now, the National Radio Club's DX audio service has just purchased a large quantity of C90 music-grade audio cassettes, a $4 retail value. And Ken has gone crazy again and says that we don't have the cases for these cassettes, and they're sitting on my shelves, so get rid of them. So for a limited time only, these cassettes are being available to NRC subscribers for $88 in lots of 25 and $0.84 in lots of 50. Now, you save over $3.12 or more over the regular retail price of these music-grade cassettes if you purchase them elsewhere. So take advantage of Crazy Ken's state of confusion and order your C90 music-grade cassettes today before the supply runs out. That's $22 for 25 or $42 for 50. You save $2, and the price includes shipping. And just send it to the National Radio Club Publication Center, Post Office Box 164, Mansville, New York, 13661-0164. And it's time now for our Musings from Members column. These are the thoughts of the NRC members, and the opinions expressed in this column are those of the individual writer and do not necessarily reflect those of the editors, publishers, or the National Radio Club.
Hello, this is Victor Schmidt reporting from Silver Spring, Maryland. Today is January 25th. I noticed a couple of nights ago, WPGC-AM is now 24 hours a day. They're 1580 on the dial. I wonder if other stations on that frequency are now allowed to go 24 hours a day. Their nighttime power is 292 watts. I'm not able to get them. The engineers are still trying to work the bugs out of their nighttime transmitter. Daytime, they are 50,000 watts. And when I was trying to get WPGC last evening, I believe I got a station in Long Island. I think the call letters are WLIM. I'm not sure, but it sounded like they were playing big band music.
Fred, this is Ed Bass from Durham, North Carolina, on the latest DX Audio Digest. You were mentioning where Tuckahoe, Virginia was. It's a suburb of Richmond. It's Tuckahoe, Virginia is actually a suburb of Richmond, Virginia. Hope that helps you out.
Hi, this is Craig Jack from Olympia, Washington.
over Christmas, I was in Spokane, Washington, and KTRW AM at 970, which is running a country oldies format, is being sold. The organization called Olympia Broadcasting, strangely enough, even though they're located in Seattle, is selling to a group of broadcasters in Bend, Oregon, of all places. They are also selling the FM service on KZZU, I think it is, and they're running a number one THR format, so if the new company has any sense, they'll keep that format around at least. Also, KSBY at 1550 in Opportunity, Washington, which was running a kind of strange oldies format. It's kind of like whatever they have had around the radio station to play. They've gone classical, but the interesting thing about both formats was every time I've heard that station, I've never actually heard a commercial. I've heard a lot of PSAs, but no commercials. Let's see. I guess that's about it for the Spokane market.
Greetings, fellow DX Audio Service members. This is Johnny Ott, WA8WFH. And it's the morning of January 30th, 1991, in the midst of the Persian Gulf War. Just received the February DX Audio Service tape. It was absolutely fantastic. I suppose we should catch up on some loose ends here. Number one, I'm sure as all of you know, on December 19th, 1990, a big story broke in the Detroit area, the firing of Ernie Harwell from the Detroit Tigers broadcast team, and the also subsequent, although not related, retirement of Paul Carey. That story still has ripple effects and all sorts of other things. Also, I'm sure you're all aware of what the CBC's going through with their budget cuts and all. We're losing Channel 9 in the Windsor-Detroit area, and as I understand it, they're strictly automated now and doing regional things, and the people in Windsor don't like it at all. And also, WJR in Detroit is carrying the audio of Nightline every night at 11:30. And I guess now with the Persian Gulf War, everybody and their brothers picking up Nightline or CNN audio. I guess WXYT is picking up CNN, and all sorts of other things are going on. So everything is changing real fast. So with that, let y'all go. Keep up the good work, Fred. And let's find out where the next NRC convention will be. Obviously, it'll be the Labor Day weekend, but where will it be?
This is Tim Hendel in Miami. I enjoyed Mark Moreno's tour of the Chicago Dial. However, several frequencies were left out, such as the very interesting 1240, where there are three stations, 1490, 1570, and maybe some others. I know it's a matter of time, but I think even if it took three DX audio services, I really feel that stations in a market should not be left out if we're having a market survey. Also, the address for FM Atlas is Bruce Elving, E-L-V-I-N-G, FM Atlas, P.O. Box 24, Adolph, A-D-O-L-P-H, Minnesota, 55701, and that's where you can find out about GE Super Radios with or without subcarrier adaptations. And Review of International Broadcasting and DX Listening Digest are not produced on cassette.
Hello again to everyone in the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service. This is Rick Dow calling in on February 1st, 1991. From my new location in Iowa City, Iowa. For those of you who want to write me, my new address is 401 Emerald, that's E-M-E-R-A-L-D, Street, apartment E9, E as in Echo, Iowa City, Iowa. The zip is 52246. And for those of you who want to call over here, my new phone number is area code 319-338-3450. My new location here is about a mile and a half away from WSUI 910's three tower transmitter site, so it kind of ruins everything between 890 and 930 on the AM dial. Fred, in case you didn't know it, you've heard KIOA at your location there. I listened on your tape of WCIT in Lima, and just after they went off and started simulcasting the FM station, in that little space of open carrier there, I heard an ID for KIOA. Mike Dukin up in Wisconsin, if I ever get up to your area again, I'll have to drop on by and visit.
Hello, Fred Bobby, everyone on the DX Audio Service, Dale Ham in Birmingham, Alabama. This is February the 1st, and I'd like to send you all a call letter change in Birmingham, Alabama. 1260 WCRT is now WCEO. They just changed here a day or so ago, and there was a big write-up in the paper about it, but it's WC as in Charlie, E, Echo, O, Oscar. 1260 AM, formerly WCRT. They changed their format from a 50s, 60s rock-type format to business radio network. I really don't care for that type format, but I can't say what'll happen. I guess they're struggling to give something a try. That seems to be it, so who knows, maybe it'll be around, or they'll drop it and go back to their format, and maybe go back to their former call. Who knows what'll happen, but just wanted to pass that along. 1260 Birmingham is now WCEO.
Well, hello, DXers. This is Marty Rimpaugh in Oakland, California, with a correction for John Bowker regarding the travelogue. KDWN in Las Vegas came on in 1975, not 1971, as John has said. In fact, I have a friend, Rick Lewis, in the Dalles, Oregon, who lived in Bakersfield at the time, and he said that one night he was getting KDWN and the engineers were gossiping and it was going right out over the air. And so he called them up and said, do you guys realize you're chattering and it's going out over the air? And immediately they cooled it rather abruptly. Anyway, that's the correction. Happy DX, and keep up the good work for the DX Audio Service.
Okay, folks, there at the DX Audio Service, this is Paul Smith again from Baltimore, Maryland, and I have the demise of another AM station to report. I have no idea when this took place because it was in a local paper north of Baltimore, but please scratch from your log WHRF. HRF, 1520 on the AM dial. I understand that the last several times they've had changes of ownership, and number one, the last ownership, I understand, couldn't even run the board from what the paper said, but I checked a week ago, and I couldn't hear them on the frequency during the day when I could normally hear it, only in 250 watts, but here in Baltimore, it's audible, but they've now bit the dust. Maybe you've heard this already on the AM switch or whatever column there is. Okay, today's February 7th, so I'll get off and let someone else take over. Bye until next time, and again, I enjoy the audio service.
It's February 8th. May I sneak this in on the action line? Jim Snowbarger calling from Central Iowa. I want to make some comments about the format of the magazine. Just to see if I could get some other people interested in making comments on the same subject with an eye toward what might be included in the future in case there are any revisions about to happen. I would like to see it stay heavily with an AM focus. I think AM is where the interesting challenges lie, since AM stations are having trouble making a living. That's where the creative programming is. These days, a lot of FM stations really sound pretty much like a handful of formats, and that's about it. I also think AM is kind of where the nostalgia is, and I'm interested in the early days of radio. I'd like to hear more about those early days. Lots and lots of John Bowker's early days of radio stories. The details, as a matter of fact, about how things were done. I also like to hear more about new developments, technical developments that are aimed at helping the AM broadcast medium be a little more attractive to folks. What's the National Association of Broadcasters doing? What's the FCC doing with regard to changing the band, reallocating frequencies, restoring clear channels? I'd like to hear band scans from people around the country, perhaps instead of Market Scope, actually hear what the AM band sounds like from various viewpoints in the country. Dedicate that little 20-minute or 10-minute slot to that sort of thing. Expanded DX/DD coverage, I think, would be great. I like to hear about who's hearing what, when, and where. And I also like the musing from members. Column like this, so I can talk. One other note, if I have time, the other night on 1194, a station from Bolivar, Missouri, was on with 500 watts around 6 o'clock, and I don't normally get them up here in central Iowa, but since they were on 1194, I managed to pull them out. Their frequency synthesizer apparently had died, and somebody fed a signal generator in this thing to just keep it on the air, and 1194 is where they ended up. So that was fascinating. They're back on frequency now, though. Thanks. Have a nice time, guys.
Hi, this is Mike Dukin from Ladysmith, Wisconsin. I hope this reaches the makes the audio service in time. But Wayne Heinen in the DX testing mentioned this. The radio station WMYN in Wisconsin was going to be making a DX test. The town that he spelled and couldn't pronounce is pronounced Minocqua, Wisconsin. It's an Indian word, which I don't remember what it is, but it's pronounced Minocqua, Wisconsin, and the station is on 1570 AM, 5,000 watts daytime. I think it's 2,500 at night, and they're about 90 miles due east of my DXing point. Well, that is it.
Hello, audio service members. Hi, Fred. This is Mike Corcoran here in Montpelier, Ohio, with a couple of tidbits and a comment. CHYR, or IR in the evening, is back on 7:30 now. They apparently have these from time to time where they switch frequencies or don't switch at night or something for probably technical reasons, but it's not a major thing. It happens occasionally over the years. It's happened. And their pattern and their power, their strength here, they're a good signal here in the day, but sometimes they aren't better than others. It's hard to say why. 3WM should have stayed OHO. They are now simulcasting with CNN Headline News instead of their FM, 3WM FM, with the oldies and pop music that they were doing. Anybody know why I get this terrible heterodyne on 1590? The last year or two, whenever I try to hear WONX, there's a terrible noisy heterodyne in there. Somebody is not quite on the frequency. Well, disappointed with the Market Scope, because since Frank Merrill was thoughtful and kind to make sure that I got involved in the audio service, I've heard two Chicago Market Scopes, and both of them left out all my favorite stations, the stations on the high end of the band, the brokered and minority stations. I thought, well, I know they're there, and I have many tapes of them, and we'll get many more. But then I thought, wait a minute. I don't know what's in San Francisco or Seattle or Montreal. I've never been there. So I wish that we could give equal billing to all the stations that are reasonable signals on the AM dial when we're doing a Market Scope. Another thing you might do that might be helpful, if you know when you go to a city and do a Market Scope, you might say where you are in the city, because that, especially in a big place like Chicago, is of some importance.
Hello, this is Dan Perrin from Mount Clemens, Michigan, talking on the Action Line. I don't know if people know that, the station out of Indianapolis, 1430, has changed its format, and its call letters. The call letters are now WFXF. It calls itself the Fox, and it's simulcast with their FM on 103, and it's now classic rock instead of country. Also, I wonder if people know that, I wonder if people know that WBT is now carrying the Tom Snyder Show, as well as TalkNet. Okay, thank you very much, and I'll be looking forward to the next DX Audio service. Bye.
And we'll have more of our musings from members in just a moment on part two of the National Radio Club's DX Audio service for March 1991. Quick reminder to all of you that if you decide to change your address, anything that has to do with changing that address label, be sure to get the information to us as quickly as possible and send it to the National Radio Club Incorporated, Post Office Box 24, Cambridge, Wisconsin, 53523-0024, or call area code 608-423-4159. Get that information to us and you won't miss your DX audio service. On part two, Phil Wayne, John Bowker, and Laura McCusker, as well as our musings from members. So stay tuned to your DX audio service for March 1991.